Thank you for taking time to listen to a message that was given at the Bridge Church in Bradenton, Florida. It's an honor to serve you, and we hope that you'll grow and be encouraged by today's message.
For those of you that are just joining us, we have been doing a series called Crafted, and the goal of this whole series is for you to begin to appreciate the beautiful, complex ways that God has crafted you to be the person that you are. When we grow up in environments where we're reminded of how short, of our shortcomings, when you're compared to other people, when you don't find environments where you seem to kind of thrive and emerge to be the person that you're created to be, a lot of times what we do is we kind of hold back. When shame haunts us and embarrassment haunts us, when we never feel like we fit in, we tend to hold back. But the fact is that you exist because God decided that you are a very good idea. God decided that the world is a better place with you than it ever would have been without you. And God has decided that there's something beautiful, a plan that he has for you. And you're to live that out. You're to know that. But you've got to be able to appreciate who you are and how God created you. So over the past several weeks, we've been looking at our shape, S-H-A-P-E, in the beginning. We talked about your spiritual gifts. If you're a Christian, you get a spiritual gift when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We talked about your natural abilities, which everybody has, and how your gifts and your abilities are clues to how you can connect to God's plan for you. They're clues that God put in you to help you to connect to God's plan for you. When you begin to use those gifts and abilities to serve other people, you can get right into God's plan for your life. We talked about heart and the importance of our heart because, according to the scriptures, we should guard it because it determines the course of your life. And it's like we talked about how God has put your heart in you. It's like a compass that God put in you to lead you into what's life-giving for you. And so you got to make sure that you're really in tune with your heart. And last week, we talked about personality and learned about different personalities and really came to appreciate the fact that the more you know about a person, the easier it is to appreciate their personality. And so the people that rub you the wrong way, the people that you kind of don't get along with, there's a reason they are the way they are, and you can learn to love them when you appreciate the background where they're coming out of. Well, this week we're going to talk, as we close out this series, about your life experiences and how God uses that to shape the person that you become, how he kind of wraps that into everything. And the goal of all this, again, is to just be able to stand up and to look at yourself and, like David did, to be able to appreciate how God made you. And as David said in Psalm 139, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. And to be able to enjoy who you are and appreciate who it is that you are. Because when you do that, you're going to put it out there. You're going to be fully alive. People begin to experience you and your love and all the beautiful qualities that God put in you when you do that. Now, have you noticed, though, that when it comes to life experiences, that you can take two people that have very similar experiences, and coming out of that experience, one person can become better and the other person can become bitter. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that it doesn't matter really whether a person is a Christian or a non-Christian? If a non-Christian can still come out of an experience understanding and kind of approaching it in a certain way, they can come out better. You can take a person who is a Christian who has a relationship with God, but if they don't know how to process that experience, they can become bitter. You can have Christians that are locked up in bitterness. You can have non-Christians that are free from it. At the same time, you can flip-flop it. And the good news is this, is that if you're a follower of Christ or if you're considering becoming a follower of Christ, today you're going to learn how to actually cooperate with God, how to actually work with God in your life. Because there are going to be times when you've laid out your plan. There are times when you put the business plan together and the business didn't work out the way you thought it was going to work out. There are going to be times when you've approached relationships the way that you thought was the way to approach relationships and the relationships still don't work out. There are times when you're going to make some investments in life and those investments won't pan out the way you thought that they were going to pan out. And you went into it with a sense of, I think I know what I can expect from God, and I just want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing, and it still doesn't work out, and it doesn't seem to make any sense to you at all. You know, when you're in a situation like that, that's an opportunity to either become bitter or become better. And let me give you the key to all of this. Here's the key. The person that you become is less about your experiences and more about your response to those experiences. The person that you're becoming is less about what happened to you and more about how you respond to what happened to you. It's less about what you went through and more about how you responded to what you went through. And that's a truth that applies to everybody. But the good news is we have the opportunity, you have the opportunity to actually go through it with God and to let God leverage that in a beautiful way to help you to become better. So I think the best place to start is to kind of get out of the situation that you're in, get your brain out of, I'm trying so hard to figure this out, I don't understand it, it doesn't make sense to me, and let's go up to 30,000 feet and let's look down and kind of look at your situation from God's standpoint. Get a bigger picture of what's going on. Because there are three things that God wants to do, three intentions that God has for the experiences that you go through, that if you could begin to wrap your heart around this, it's really going to help. So number one is this, is my experiences are intended to teach me to fully rely on God. My experiences are intended to teach me how to fully rely on God. You know, when it comes to having a growing relationship with God, to grow in your maturity, in your relationship with God, doesn't mean just I've learned more Bible, I go to church a whole lot more than I used to, you know, I'm getting older, I've been a Christian longer this year than I was last year. Those aren't signs of maturity. Those can affect maturity, but ultimately growth and maturity is learning how to rely upon God, learning how to trust Him. In the areas where you used to control it, learning how to let God control that. Learning how to give God room to work, learning to rely upon Him more and more. That's what maturity looks like. And Paul, the apostle, in his letter to the Corinthians, he talks about what it's like when they go into towns and they get stoned, they get abused, they get tortured, they get thrown into jail, all these hardships. And he talks about kind of living life that way when you would have hoped things would have been different. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 1. He said, in fact, we expected to die in those situations. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. He said, we got to a point where everything was taken away from us, where we had nothing left but God. We were in situations where we weren't in control, where all of our plans didn't matter. We were in situations that didn't make sense at times. And we learned in those situations to rely only on God who raises the dead. Here's the truth, you guys. You're never going to know that God is all you need until He is all you have. And God will bring us to that place in situations. Because what happens is when we finally begin to rely upon God and trust Him to that extent, when we can say, my whole life is in your hands, there is a peace that comes from being able to let go to that extent. There is a confidence that comes knowing that your life is indestructible because it's in the hands of God Himself and that nothing can come to you unless it passes through His hand first. There is a confidence and a strength that comes from learning to rely only on God. There's no situation that you will ever walk into that's going to be too big for you because you're in God's hands and you've learned to rely upon Him. You know what? If I asked you this question, if I said, hey, what was the greatest breakthrough that you've ever experienced in your life? You know what many people would say? The greatest breakthrough I ever had was when I lost everything and I only had God. The greatest breakthrough I had was when I stopped trying to manage my own addiction recovery, and I learned to rely upon God. The greatest breakthrough I ever had was when I quit trying to control my spouse, and I learned to fully rely on God. The greatest breakthrough I had was when I stopped, you know, kind of ragging on my kids, and I began to learn how to fully rely on God. The greatest breakthrough that I ever had was when I quit doing what I wanted to do, and I learned to fully rely on God. And the greatest lessons and the greatest breakthroughs that we ever experience is when we get to that point. And all those plans, all that, those things that we do where we've got our expectations and our hopes set and it doesn't work out is oftentimes because God is kicking out everything else, stripping us away from everything else, and things aren't going the way that we wanted them to. Because God wants you to know that He is all you need, but you won't know that until He's all you've got. He's intending to teach you that. Here's the second thing. My experiences are intended to build strong character in me. Paul says this in Romans chapter 5. He said, we can rejoice too, when he's talking about hardships. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of what? Character. You say, there, you know what God wants you to do is this. He wants you to go through that experience with Him, and you're going to discover something. You've got more strength than you know. You've got more power than you know. There is something inside of you that is so much stronger than you ever realized. You couldn't imagine it going into it, that you would endure it, but you endured and you persevered, and you can look back and you can know, I can make it. I can make it. And God does that because He's trying to build something in you that He can't build in you any other way. And He intends to make you stronger because He's preparing you for the things that are still going to come. And when you've gone through something difficult and God has built in you that strength of character, that confidence in Him, when you go through something and other people look at it and they're like, whoa, I don't know how you're dealing with that, and they see you go through it the way that you do, they see God's power in you. And God wants to build that in all of us. Give us the strength of character to be able to do that. You know, when I go through the prayer requests every week, oftentimes I'm going, God, you're building strength of character in that person. You're building character in this one. Oh, I can see this one. I get a sense, God, of what you're trying to build in them. And when I pray through those prayer requests, I'm like, oh, thank you, God, for what you're doing in the lives of people. Comes out. He wants to do that in you. Here's the third thing. My experiences are intended to accomplish God's purpose. Now, this is really, really important, especially when things don't make any sense to you about what you're going through. Because we don't fly at 30,000 feet. We often fly so low that we're just in it and we're not able to see beyond it. But there's a story, when you go back to the book of Genesis, you'll find that there was a young man named Joseph, a man who God had His hand on. God was giving him dreams and visions, and he was an innocent, sweethearted guy that he was just trying to always do the right thing and just kind of go with God. And his brothers got jealous of him, and they actually sold him into slavery and told Dad that he was attacked by wild animals and he's dead. And Dad's back there grieving. And they sell him into slavery. He ends up getting sold to an Egyptian named Potiphar, and he becomes a servant in Potiphar's house for doing what? Just for being who he was. Rejected by his own family. Some of you know what that's like. And he's in Potiphar's household, and Potiphar's wife is checking him out. And she's like, man, he is a good-looking dude. I want to get it on with him, right? And his response is, hey, how can I do that to my master? And how can I do that to God? And she gets even with him spurning her advances by saying, you know what? He came on to me and he gets thrown in prison. For what? For doing the right thing. Now, if there's ever a circumstance that doesn't make any sense, that's it. And then through a move of God in his life, he ends up becoming second in command in Egypt, because God had revealed to him that there was a famine that was coming, and he was able to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh and say, look, there's a famine coming. We need to start to store some things up. We need to build storehouses. We need to get this grain, and we need to make sure that we're kind of living on a budget here, and it's going to be pretty tough. And sure enough, the famine hits, but they were ready for it. And literally, people survived because of the dreams that he had and the way that God was moving. Well, among the people that came to Egypt to try to get food when the famine hit were his brothers. And here he is, second in command, and he reveals himself to his brothers. And his brothers are like, this can't be good. Not for us. But what Joseph had done was Joseph had flown to 30,000 feet, and he saw a bigger purpose. For all that he went through, all that his own family put him through. And here's what he says in Genesis. He said to his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. You see, he knew there was a purpose. And this is where it takes faith. It's hard to go through things when it doesn't make any sense to you. You know, faith is trusting in God, isn't it? And ultimately, when you're in the midst of something that doesn't make any sense to you, when the plan didn't work out, when the relationship didn't work out, when all those things don't work out in your life, faith is trusting God in advance for that which is only going to make sense in reverse. It's saying, God, I don't understand this, but I know that you will accomplish a purpose in it. And God, I'm placing my faith and my trust in you to make all of this count. Every hurt, every pain, every disappointment, every mistake, God, take this and work it out for a greater purpose. Paul did this. See, God had been doing this all along. Paul, some thousand years later, had been in prison, chained to a guard 24/7, thrown in a dungeon. Why? For telling people, God loves you. Jesus died for your sins. You can be completely forgiven because of what Jesus did. And they threw him in a slammer. And here's how Paul looked at it. He said, you know what? I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. See, there's a lot of things that aren't going to make sense on this side of eternity, right? But the things that you go through, the experiences that you go through, all those have this incredible capacity to accomplish a greater purpose. But you've got to trust God with that purpose to be able to go through it. Trust him in advance for what will only make sense in reverse. So how do you do that in a practical way? What are the steps that you could take to begin to leverage your life experiences with God's help? Let's take a look at some practical ways to do it. Number one, you've got to take time to reflect. Don't just let life do you. Don't just go through life. Reflect upon it. Consider what it is that you're going through. Take time to ask God something about what it is that you're going through. Now, this is really important because what happens is if you don't reflect, you'll end up developing a theme for your life like a lot of people do. You'll end up beginning to approach life as though you are a victim of everything. You're a victim of circumstances. You're a victim of other people's actions. You're a victim of your home environment. You're a victim of the economy. You're a victim of all these other things that are going on. And you will let those things define you if you don't take time to actually reflect. And see, what happens is this. Becoming a victim, there is a sense of relief that we can get from it. Because what it does is it alleviates us from the responsibility of taking responsibility for the positive changes that we could begin to bring into our lives, that God could use to give us breakthrough. It alleviates that. Allows me to stay where I'm at. But we've got to take time to reflect. And to be able to get out of woe is me and to begin to say, God, help me see. not woe is me. Help me see God. God, help me to see what it is in me that you're trying to change. Help me to see, God, what it is in me that you're trying to take out. Help me to see, God, what it is in my character that you're trying to put in. God, help me to see a greater purpose that can come out of this. Help me to see, God, not woe is me. God, help me to see all of these things. What are you teaching me about how to rely upon you? What are you teaching me about how I tend to control and how you're teaching me to let go? Help me to see, not woe is me. God, help me to see what needs to change. Help me to see the good that you can do. Help me to see, not woe is me. Take time to reflect on your life. Peter talks about the world and just, you know, the mess that this world is. And he says in 2 Peter, he wrote this in his letter. He said, but we are looking forward to the new heavens and new earth he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. In other words, you look at everything around you and you're so discouraged and you're so depressed and things aren't working out. Well, why don't you take time to reflect and let God show you that maybe you're too invested in this life. And you're not really thinking about the next life and how the things that you do in this life affect that. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe the reason you're so disappointed is because all of your investment is here. And you haven't invested at all in what's to come and will last forever. Maybe it's all of maybe it's about all the things that you've got and all your finances here. And you've never invested in a practical way to support what it is that God's about. And Peter says, you know, when you go through that disillusionment, it's a way to kind of get back to the fact that, hey, we're not in this for all this. We're looking forward to something better. And in the meantime, we're here to make the world a better place. Paul in Colossians chapter 3 said this, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your creator and become like him. You're in process. When you blow it, understand you're still in process. And you're being made more and more like him. Reflect. Take a breath. So take time to reflect. Second thing is take time to share. Don't waste all your hurts and all your failures keeping it inside. Don't let pride keep you from doing that because the fact is your experiences, both bad and good, can really help other people. Proverbs 27 says this, that as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Your experiences help other people. A few weeks ago, I shared about how I was working on something, and I ended up drilling 8 holes in the top of my pool table. Some have reminded me that that just only proves that the purpose of my life is to serve as a warning to others. That's what I'm here for. It's biblical. Take a look. Colossians. First Corinthians. Paul says, these things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us. There are things you do in your life, mistakes that you've made. You're embarrassed about it. You're ashamed about it. But you're able to take that and sit down with somebody and say, you know something? If I could hit the redo button in my marriage, I'd do this differently. I would have gone back and done this in my first marriage. I wish I had done that. Don't do what I did, but do this instead. Hey, I wish I hadn't done this and gotten into that addiction. I wish I would have done this instead. If I could hit the redo button, that's what I'd do. Oh, man. You could save people from a lot if you just were willing to take time to share. Here's the third thing. Take time to worship. Take time to worship. Peter said this, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. Take time to go, Jesus, I understand now what you being betrayed by a best friend feels like. Oh, I never really appreciated that. But God, now I see it because I feel it and I've gone through it. Lord, thank you for your love. And thank you that I can know you this way. When you go through sufferings and disappointments, when you're misjudged, you say, God, I know what you felt like now. I just got a taste of it. God, you're so amazing that you still loved us in spite of all of that. God, I just worship you. God, I was so disappointed. I wanted things to turn out differently. Oh, God, can't imagine what it was like for you to come to the planet you made and the people that you love and to be rejected. Wow. God, I just worship you because you still love anyway. Thank you. And you take that opportunity, that experience, that pain. God, it hurt so much when I went through that surgery, the recovery. It was so painful. And when you're in the midst of it, say, God, I can't imagine what it was like for you to go through your suffering. God, thank you. Thank you. I know what it feels like to go through that. Thank you, God. And you just let God do something in your heart to connect you with him in a way that probably wouldn't have happened if you weren't going through what you're going through. You know, it's not easy, is it? It's not easy to kind of entrust your life to God. It's not easy to kind of sit back and feel like other forces around you are have a greater power over you. It's not easy to sit back and entrust yourself that things are going to work out when you're going through all that stuff. But one of the great metaphors or symbols in the Bible that describe our relationship with God, especially in the area of experiences, is the fact that he is the potter and you're the clay. And that in his hands, one of God's favorite tools to use to mold us and shape us are these experiences that we go through in life. And a potter in the very beginning, when a potter picks up the clay, there's something that the potter has to do. See, even though the clay looks fine to you and to me, the potter knows that there is something in that clay that has got to come out. And what's in there are air bubbles. And the problem is this, is that when the potter makes what the potter makes and they put it in a kiln, if there are air bubbles in that clay, when they open up the door of the kiln, all they're going to find are shards of clay everywhere because that air pocket will expand and explode inside the kiln. And the experiences that you go through, sometimes it feels like God is heavy-handed with you. But he sees something in you that concerns him, and it is his love for you that motivates him to press in so hard. It's not that he's against you. It's that the seed of the thing that could end up destroying you is in there. And he sees it and he knows it. And he's going to press his hand hard because he wants to take it out. Some of you are in that place where you feel like God's been so heavy-handed. Man, it's been so hard. And there is this thing that he sees that he's just going, you got to trust me. Gotta trust me. And the dryness that comes in our hearts when we get mad at God and we say, I don't know why you're doing this to me. Nothing makes sense to me and what's happening. It's in that moment that instead we need to begin to trust. He'll take his spirit and he'll water your heart and he'll begin to shape you and mold you. And when we hold God at arm's length, our hearts can get so dry and hard that when you've been away from him for a long time and you get in environments like this, you can't understand, why am I crying? Why? What's happened to me? How come I was at one time so close to God and now I feel so far away? The dryness sets in. But God, being the perfect potter to the willing heart, begins to water when you say, I trust you, God. Begins to pour something in you to make your heart soft, pliable, remove that hardness. That hardness sometimes gets us so locked into a certain way of thinking and relating. It affects all of your relationships when you do. But this morning, there's a beautiful thing that God wants to do in you And that's to take those things in you that are going to undermine your strength. Take it out. He's pressing in. And it's hard. I know it's hard. But see, there's something about the potter that you've got to understand. The potter is driven by a vision of you, a vision of beauty, a vision of when you come out in all the beauty that God put in you and designed in you. Everything about you, your gifts, your abilities, your heart, your personality, everything. When he sees you, he has this picture of this beautiful person that he put you on earth to become. And he is driven by that vision for you to become that person. Because he loves you. Because he knows that's when you're going to feel fully alive. And because he won't let go of that vision, he won't take his hand off of you. Even when you're hard, your hard heart wants to keep him at arm's length. He'll come back and put more water in. He'll press in. And the whole time when nothing is making sense to you about what you're going through, he's already taking delight in what you're becoming. He's already smiling in his heart about the finished product. He's already delighting in the fact that those experiences you have are useful. You know, it's interesting because when you read the Bible, it says in a book of Hebrews that Jesus himself went through a similar process. That even though he was God, even though as a son of God he came, it says in a book of Hebrews that he prayed to God with loud cries and with tears. He's going through so much, so much. The one who created the world to come to this world and to experience the rejection that he experienced. And it says that he was heard because of his reverent submission. He was heard because he entrusted himself. And then it goes on to say this. He learned? Hold it. How can God learn anything? He learned obedience through the things that he suffered. You see, it's one thing to agree with what's right. It's another thing when you're tempted to not do the right thing, to continue to do right. There are some things that only make sense, that we agree with mentally, that God can only teach you experientially. It's the potter's favorite tool. And if God took Jesus down his path where he would come to the very world that he made, come to the very people that he created, and experience rejection and still love us, there was something that he learned how to follow God, even when it was still hard to do. If Jesus went through that process, and you're a follower of his, what makes you think it would be any different for you? When life doesn't make sense to you, you learn to do what's right. You learn to keep loving. You learn to keep trusting. You learn to endure. It's one thing to agree with what's the right thing to do. It's another thing to experience it. And the potter, he loves you. And no matter what it is that you're going through, maybe for some of you, there is that place in your life where you've never even taken that first step to begin to trust God because you've convinced yourself that you can control things. But if you take an honest look at your life, you'd say, it's a mess. And maybe you've known about God. Maybe you've gone to church. Maybe you agree about Jesus and all these other things. But there is still something profoundly missing from your life, profoundly empty. And maybe the watering of the Spirit of God is what you've been thirsting for. And the idea of opening up your life completely to him, saying, God, I want to follow you. I want you in my life. I completely trust you with everything. Maybe that's the step that you need to take. Or when the plans haven't gone the way you thought, and maybe you've said to God, God, I don't know why you're letting this happen to me. And at one time you had this great relationship with him, but it's kind of grown dry, and spiritually you've kind of checked out because things haven't gone the way you wanted to. And there's something inside of you that goes, but I miss it. I long for him. I long to feel his hand on my life. I long to feel him at work in me. Man, if that's you, today's your day. And let him take the experiences. You might think that, oh, he won't do that because I've blown it. I've no better. I've done things that I know I shouldn't do. And it's like he's going, you feel like you're so dirty and you're such a mess. He's like, I can work with clay. That's what I love to work with. Just get on the wheel where I can do something with you. And to be able to say, I trust you, God. Today I'm getting on the wheel. I got far away from you, God, but today I'm getting on the wheel. Is to begin once again to allow your maker take all the experiences of your life and create the beauty that he always intended to bring out in you. And when people see you and they see what you've been through, or they see what you've been involved in, they see the new you and this person that you're becoming, that the only way they can explain it is God. And he's the one that gets the credit for it. And suddenly everything you've gone through has a greater purpose. Here's the bottom line, guys. Ultimately, you're shaped less by your experiences and more by how you respond to those experiences. You respond with God. You respond to God. He'll make it all count for good. But he won't force it. We have a choice. So I'm going to ask you guys, just close your eyes if you would. For some of you, you're that believer that once had this walk with him, you had this relationship with him, and it's grown dry. You've been disappointed, you've been hurt, and you've kind of walled everything out. And today, God says, I want to pour my spirit in you. I want to do a fresh work in you. I want to water you again. I want to make you moldable. Would you be willing to get on the wheel? Man, if that's you, then right where you are, you can say, God, I'm getting on the wheel. And I'm trusting you in advance for what will only make sense in reverse. God, I'm asking you to shape me. I'm asking you to mold me. I'm asking you to make all this count for your glory, God. And I just thank you, God, that you're the potter. Thank you. I am clay, and I need you. Maybe it's patterns of dysfunction. Maybe it's the way you've been treating a spouse. Maybe it's secrets you've been keeping. Would you just come to him? God, I'm back on the wheel. Take it out of me. Change me. Shape me, God. And for those of you that have never taken that first step and placed your trust in Jesus as your Savior, maybe you've been too proud. Maybe you're waiting till you get your act together. Well, the clay doesn't do a very good job shaping itself. The best thing you can do is get on the wheel. And right where you are, to just say, Jesus, I believe you are my Savior. I believe you died for my sin. I believe I need you in my life. And I want you to come in, God. Come into my life, Lord. And help me to become the person that you created me to be. I'm yours. And I'm settling that right now. I am yours. Father, thank you so much for your great purposes in our lives. Father, thank you for the grace that you pour out. Thank you, Lord, for your hand upon us. Father, keep your hand upon every person in here in a powerful way. Lord, we love you. We can trust you, God. We delight in you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Let's tell God thank you for his grace. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, God, for your grace. Listen, our care team will be up here at the end of the service if you want somebody to talk to. Let me encourage you. Don't just like walk out and, oh, wow, okay, that was, I'll give that a 9, you know, whatever. You take that time to let God do this stuff in you. You take this stuff to heart. God will take all these experiences in your life and he will always work it and shape you with it and do something beautiful in it. You trust him. All right, you trust him in that. So guys, let's stand up and don't forget about Easter. Let's do a special blessing for not only this morning, but also for next Sunday as well, for God's power to continue to be poured out. All right. May God continue to shape you and mold you. Continue to form you and beautifully craft you. May the true you emerge in that process. The you that he designed you to be from the very beginning. May you be able to get up and to be able to look at yourself and appreciate the gifts, the calling that God has upon your life and put it out there to the whole world to see. May God do that through you. May God's presence follow you. May his presence fill this place on Easter. May your friends that you bring experience him. And may we all be able to continue to look forward to the life that's to come because of the way we've lived it out down here. In the hands of the potter, fully trusting. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week.